Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Good morning, Georgia. Sam and Greg, Mr. Crenshaw is not in this morning. He's been traveling with Georgia State basketball. He was out on the coast. And he is either at 36,000 feet or pulling into Hartsfield right now, but he is not with us this morning. But doing a great job, and a guy you've heard on our show regularly, John Betnarowski, sports editor for Marietta Daily Journal. And a guy who is, by the way, if you haven't been listening the first hour, you'll know why he is known as a triple threat. And I'm going to do this. I'm gonna toot your own horn.
Okay.
Well, I'm not going to toot your horn, but you know what I mean. Triple crown or triple threat, whatever you want. You won the best column from the Associated Press managing editors.
Yeah.
You won best sports writing from Georgia Sports Writers Association.
Yeah.
And this is all last year too, right, by the way?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the best sports column from the Georgia Press Association.
Yeah.
Did you get a jacket or something for that?
No, I'm still waiting to get sized for my ring, but... No, it's one of the few things that we get to look forward to every year is contest season, because your work is judged against everybody in the state and with Associated Press sports editors on a national basis. And, you know, my dad always used to say even a blind pig finds a acorn once in a while. So
I heard that about a broke clock or something is right twice a day, but
yeah.
You know.
And somehow, you know, some of my stuff has been well received, and I've won a few awards. The ones that I'm really excited about, though, more than the individual, is APSE. We have a triple crown. We've done it the last 4 or 5 years for the MDJ, and that triple crown is...
when you say MDJ for people...
Marietta Daily Journal.
There you go.
It's a top 10 daily sports section, top 10 Sunday sports section, and top 10 special section in the country based against papers our own size. And, you know, our special section every year is our 200-page kickoff magazine that is like giving birth every year. And, yeah. You know, those are the things that I'm most proud of, because my peers are saying, hey, you guys are doing a really good job. And that means that our subscribers are also benefiting in that, because we provide a good product for them.
You guys do something on a level. We ain't talking about the bug tussle news here. We're talking about you guys get accolades from the New York Times, LA Times, Seattle. The big time, big city newspapers have acknowledged what you're doing down there in Cobb County.
Yeah, one, you know, feather in my cap. I, you know, every now and again you get to pat yourself on the back. I got a big smile. The Los Angeles Times approached me and said, hey, would you mind sending us a couple of copies of your football magazines? Because it shows what you can do when you put the effort into it.
Congratulations to you, man. All right, well, that's the reason why we got you here, John. And let's take a second and get back to what we were talking about last segment, I should say, when we were talking about high school sports, and we left something out that I think is worth addressing, because we love, meaning 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. We look forward to the Corky Kell Classic every year. I mean, it's a big part of this station. And next year, there is, as you put it, something different that's going to be happening there. And it's an interloper, as you put it, joining the Corky Kell. Talk about that for a second.
I believe this will be the 29th annual Corky Kell Classic. It has expanded to 4 days now. It's
Wednesday.
Saturday.
Okay.
We're going to have two games up at North Forsyth on Wednesday, a couple of games at Tequila on Thursday, two games up at Rome on Friday, and then that full slate of games at Mercedes-Benz on Saturday.
Starting with?
starting with the biscuits and gravy game.
Which
will post two Cobb teams against each other in Kell and Walton, that 9 o'clock game where there's just not enough coffee to go with those biscuits and gravy.
By the way, for those of you just joining us and don't know why we're having fun with that, now you just tooted your own horn. I coined that phrase. Sam and I, you know, we've gone back and forth about that, and he even gives me credit for it, but it's something that we started on this show, and you guys are actually calling it that?
Well, at least we are. That's the way I wrote it because it makes sense. It's breakfast at Mercedes-Benz.
I have a good idea once a decade.
There you go.
And it came up. Now, tell us what makes this one different, that we got a guy kind of a team sliding in from somewhere else.
Well, you know, this is the premier high school football showcase in the country, in my opinion.
Right.
And, you know, you can fill this up every year with nothing but Georgia teams, and it's going to be great. But we have one interesting game on that Saturday slate. It's going to be the 5:45 game. Lowndes is going to play Hoover.
As in Alabama. This is the first.
Is the first time in the history of the Corky Kell that an out-of-state team will be coming to play. And, you know, when you're pulling Hoover, there's no bigger name in the Southeast when it comes to high school football when you're going region. You know, I know Colquitt County is going to have something to say about that and, you know, maybe Grayson. But Hoover draws eyeballs, and that's going to be a fun game to see.
Oh, man, we can't wait to be a part of this next year. Again, this is John Bednarowski, sports editor, Marietta Daily Journal, joining us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sam is out. I want to remind you guys, in case you can't get to a TV today, of course, this is a game day, as Mr. Crenshaw would say, a game day Sunday morning, Falcons in Tampa Bay. You can hear that game right here, like I said, in case you can't get in front of a TV, pregame at 11, kickoff at 1. We've also got NFL action tonight, Packers and 49ers, pregame at 7:30, kickoff at 8:20. Now, yesterday, John, you spent some time with Kennesaw State. I want you to take some time here. I'm going to let you just go about what happened with that game, but the significance of their victory.
Okay, they won their 10th game of the year. They've been a program for 5 seasons now. This is their third straight year of double-digit wins. Old Dominion has always been, over the last few decades, has been the model startup program that everybody looks to when they're deciding whether or not they're going to bring football to campus. In their first 5 years, Old Dominion went 46-14. With Kennesaw State's win yesterday, they're 47-14. And with that win yesterday and a little help in some other areas in the country, with some teams losing, the FCS selection committee for the 2014 playoff, that comes on at 12:30 today. I think Kennesaw State, despite some of the flaws, because they've got a very weak schedule, and that's the one thing that's holding them back, I think they're going to make the playoffs for the third straight year. Brian Bohannon has done an amazing job up there, considering, and, you know, there is no sign of them slowing down. Sure, they're not going to win the Big South automatic bid this year. They're going to finish second because they had a momentary lapse against Monmouth. You know, it was in 5 years, they're 27-5 at home. So this is a program that's on the rise, and it's just going to keep going up.
Again, this... forgive me for not paying closer attention to what's going on with their season, but what these guys are doing. I don't know. I just actually lost my train of thought. I was going to ask you about something else, but this program, where do you see it going if they do make playoffs, and what's next?
Well, that's going to be determined again today.
What time is that again?
Like, that's a 12:30. I think it's on ESPNU. It's going to be interesting because with the with FCS, the opening round playoff games are done on a bid process. You have to bid to host a game. So right. KSU, I do know that they have turned in a bid to be a potential host. There's a good chance that they may host in round one. And the FCS tries to keep teams in the first couple of rounds geographically located. If they would win that first round game, it would not surprise me to see them go to like Furman, for round two. So a lot of intrigue because, you know, Kennesaw State, unfortunately, they had some teams back out on them this year, had a team move a game last year. So it left them with having to play two NAIA opponents this year, both of those wins, but they're not going to be considered. So their schedule strength out of 126 FCS teams was 107th. And that's where the question is, are they going to get in despite the 10-2 record?
I remember what I was going to ask you, and it was actually having to do with did you see this season coming from this program this year? Because I remember Sam talking about those games that you mentioned last year. They got moved around, and there was some question about whether or not they were going to be as good as they have shown this upcoming year. That's what I was going to ask you. But I want to move on to something else, and we're not going to spend much time talking about it. But, dude, you got an AP vote, don't you?
Yeah. I'm one of 61 AP voters for football across the country.
Now, forgive me, Division I or all, just all of them?
No, this Division I.
Just Division I. So you have nothing to say about what's going on with Kennesaw State. You
don't. Well, I'm also an FCS voter, but it's, you know, that's a little bit smaller scale.
Okay. I want to talk about how you get a vote. Okay. I could use one of those. I don't know if I do it, but I could use one. Listen, we're going to switch gears next and talk basketball. College and pros, of course, the Hawks, and what's going on locally here, too, with our own Deshaun Tate. That is coming up next. Sam and Greg with John Bednarowski. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Good morning, Sam and Greg. Mr. Crenshaw is out. Joined this morning by John Bednarowski, sports editor, Marietta Daily Journal, MDJ, if you will. Mm-hmm. Can't thank you enough for coming in here this morning. Are you getting ready for Thanksgiving, man? Is everything looking good for you? You got that worked out?
Well, I'm just looking forward to not having to work.
Okay.
Because, you know, that's one of those paid holidays, and it's still during football season. So I'm hoping I can get everything done on Wednesday. So all I have to do is help my wife with the dinner and watch some football.
We're going out. It's been a thing. I love it. Don't sleep. Well, I want to tell you where. I'll tell you afterwards. I've been mentioning it for years, but there's a little family riff some years ago on my wife's side that caused us not to go to another relative's, and I couldn't be happier. Neither could she, by the way, or my stepson and daughter.
Well, luckily, I have the best in-laws possible because they're 18 hours away.
That's the way to do it. Listen, I want to tell you about something that happened on this date some many years ago, and that's going to take me into Deshaun Tate. On this date, the man, the myth, the legend, Wilt Chamberlain, think about this. This dude pulled down 55 rebounds. Did y'all hear what I said? Chamberlain, 55 rebounds. Do we see anything close to that in our lifetime again? As I introduce Deshaun Tate, who will come in here and start talking about basketball, I'll let you decide whether it's college or pro.
But it's bright and early. You got my brain working.
I know, man. Well, that's my job, right?
Oh, absolutely. Last time you got on me because I was wearing my pajamas, so I had to keep it consistent.
Man, you had
this
your house
time.
Slippers on in here, and I was just jealous.
It's only really house slippers and house shoes if you're stepping on the back of them.
I'll ask you this. Instead of answering that other question, do you think that this generation has an appreciation? Well, Jordan aside, but Wilt and people of that era and what they did, or they just dismiss it because they figure the game was slow and stodgy and all that sort of stuff?
I think it depends on who you're asking. It depends on the player. There's some players and some non-players that have the appreciation, some younger guys that still have the appreciation, guys that play and guys that don't play. I think ultimately it depends on the player. I was talking to a guy about this the other day, same conversation, and he was like, yeah, well, you know, guys weren't nearly athletic back then when Jordan was playing this and that. And I'm like, yeah, well, I kind of get that to an extent. But, you know, when it came to the mental toughness and you know, it came down to the fundamentals and basic basketball, I mean, I enjoyed that generation. I'm a younger guy, but I really embraced that generation.
We can talk about some of them point guards that would break ankles just as easily then as they would right now. And I got another comment. This came to me last week. I figured out why people don't like watching James Harden play. Because it's basically
I was going to say, you're just not figuring that out.
Well, no, I know that, but I was trying to associate him with somebody else who would drive you crazy doing something you couldn't do. And the only other person I could think of was Metal Ark Lemon.
Oh, goodness.
Because if you had Metal Ark on a team and sure. He did all the stuff, it would drive you crazy.
Yeah, absolutely.
It wouldn't be fun to watch after the first couple times. Anyway, Deshaun, where do you want to go first? You want to go college or you want to go pro?
Whichever way.
Well, let's start locally.
As long as we keep it in basketball.
We keep it in basketball, okay, man. Cool. Yeah, I know how you hate. John, this man hates talking football.
I don't hate. Okay, I hate it.
That's what I see. When's the last time you heard somebody actually admit that? What do we need to know about what's going on with our Hawks?
Man, Hawks are, if I'm just being honest, man, they're stinking it up right now. They're like, what, 6-game losing streak at this point? And I get it. They got quite a few of DMPs between, you know, obviously everybody knows about John Collins being out for 25 games. But, you know, as soon as Cam Register looked like he was about to turn the corner and start doing a little bit of something, had his career high the other night, I think against Milwaukee, 17 points, somewhere right around there. And then now there's a DMP for him. Then you, of course, you got Kevin Huerter in that same conversation. So, there's a, you know, when you're looking at this, man, they got to try and figure out doing something else, because as good as Trae Young looked yesterday with a triple-double, 30 points, 10 rebounds, 10 assists, all that good stuff, you know, they're going to have to figure out some things in regards, because they got a lot of young pieces over there. And sometimes Trae Young is distributing the basketball and it's like the guys are fumbling it out of bounds and they're not really, really ready for that. So it looks like he's kind of ahead of his time. They're going to have to start figuring some things out because it's not going to get much easier.
That is DeShawn Tate joining Sam and Greg. Sam's not here. John Bednarowski's here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Talking basketball. I say this as I pass the baton over to John to ask his question. The NBA is much better when the Celtics and the Lakers are doing very well. Mm-hmm. Now we got Lakers and the Clippers coming out of the same building. And what's going on out there on the West Coast?
I found it interesting last night. Now, you know, I'm a Cleveland Cavaliers fan, so I've been following LeBron his entire career.
Sure.
You know, he averages almost 8 free throws a game over the course of his career. I think that's down to around 6 this year. He took 27 shots last night and did not go to the free throw line. How does that happen for somebody that is 6'9" and 255, 260 pounds?
Is that all he is? Is 255, maybe 265, somewhere in that range? No. The crazy thing about it is to think that that's the most attempts in his career without going to the free throw line as well. When you start factoring in how big he is in this game, he's essentially the face of, you know, the league. I guess we could still kind of say that. Some people might argue that he's not the best player in the league anymore. But regardless of the fact, we all know about superstar calls. We talked the other day about Michael Jordan, I think last time I was on here. And he's going to get superstars are going to get the calls. It's kind of surprising to me that he hasn't. I'll tell you what, this isn't going to bode well for the anti-LeBron fans who say that he flops all the time, because if he's not getting these calls and they're already calling him a flopper, I can only imagine what it's going to look like. However, I will tell people that you should embrace what LeBron James is doing, because he had 30 points last night. That's very impressive considering he didn't go to the free throw line. He's 35 years old. He has a lot of wear and tear on those knees. I got a lot of miles on it, and he spends a lot of time in the paint as well. So He's certainly got to figure some things out, because you know what? At some point, they're going to start blowing these whistles for him, and people are going to be really unhappy if you're not rolling with the king.
Was it Patrick Beverly got, $5,000?
Oh, yeah.
For flopping?
For flopping.
He got that on him. Why do you have these minuscule little fines for these guys who make 8-9 digits a year? Well, not 9 digits a year, but it's maddening. And I'm going to tell you something else before we go to college. I don't know how long, but I'm maybe within the next 5 years. We are going to see an NBA player punch a fan. We saw this past week with Marcus Smart. This is his second time, because he went at a dude in college.
Mm-hmm.
But these guys that are that close and the alcohol's going and somebody's going to say something and there's going to be a Charles Barkley moment where somebody – I mean, Marcus Smart learned from his college days and he didn't go after this fan. But, you know, Barkley would grab somebody.
Mm-hmm.
I think there will be a point where something will happen.
Or a Ron Artest and Jermaine O'Neal moment.
Well, this is the anniversary. You're from Michigan, man, and this is the anniversary of Malice in the Palace. I do believe that's going to happen, though.
Hey, I want to sneak one more in here before we go to college.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm being up in Cobb County. I've got a couple of proud – I'm a proud papa because I got a couple of guys playing in the league. Colin Sexton, former Pebblebrook star with my Cavaliers.
Sure.
Yes. And then Jaylen Brown, who started at Wheeler, went to Cal, and now has not only graduated from the Celtics, but he's playing for Team USA.
Sure.
How are those guys doing this year?
Well, looking at it as far as let's start off with Colin Sexton. You look at a game that they had last night, 19 points, 50% shooting from the field. You know, but 0 assists, and that doesn't really, you know, look all that great. But he didn't come in as, like, that pure, prototypical type of point guard anyways, and they're coming off of a six-game losing streak, so they had to get a win somewhere. He's certainly contributing. I don't like the way they were dogging him out around this time last year. A lot of guys on the team was saying, you know, they're questioning his passion and all this other kind of stuff about the game of basketball. He doesn't really know that much. He's not very knowledgeable. One thing that you won't say about him is that he's not passionate, and that's just something that I always kind of disagreed with. On the season, 18 points, shooting 44% from the field. And, you know, there's been a lot of comparisons I know that people have talked about between – you know, Trae Young and Luka Doncic. But a lot of people forget Colin Sexton was compared to Trae Young in a lot of those same conversations when the Hawks were up against it in terms of the draft. So he scored double digits every game this season so far, and he's a great perimeter defensive player and a combo guard. Now, as far as Jaylen Brown goes, I think that the experience in FIBA has certainly helped him out a whole lot. Impressively for me, he's tied for second on the team in rebounding. I don't know what the expectations will be now that they don't have Kemba Walker and what happens with that. I think we're going to learn a lot about him in those regards. And he's missed three games, so he's looking really impressive so far. But we're going to find out how well worth spent that money was for them.
That's DeShaun Tate joining John Bednarowski, sitting in for Sam this morning. I'm Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 92.9thegame.com. Listen, because I got
to really have to have that on the TV. I'm sorry. What? I just had to.
Man, don't be. People don't know that you're getting all worked up into a lather because they put Jim Harbaugh's face up there.
There's a reason you said John at first before you said Jim.
Well, they're brothers.
Sorry about that. I had to sneak the football in because if I don't, people are going to get
now
angry.
Now you're going to make me want to say something that was happening in my house yesterday, and I didn't want to take you down that road because I know how you feel about Michigan and the fact that Michigan State has more losses this year in basketball than Michigan.
And they've also played more top 25 opponents as well. Let me make sure I add that in.
That person in my house don't care about that, though. They go, I wonder what Deshaun's going to say about this. I may have to hang you over a little bit because I have to ask you one more thing about the NBA. So can you hang around for a little bit? We're not done yet.
Is that
but
a
I'm
trick
just saying.
Question?
No,
of
it
course.
Isn't.
Because are we talking basketball?
I just thought we're talking basketball.
Okay, I can hang.
We're talking basketball, and the news that came down yesterday that there is conversation swirling about shortening the season with the NBA, going to a 78-game season. And some there's a number of things. But the biggest takeaway for me was that it was also noted that there's been no pushback yet.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to get your thoughts on, does it need to happen? Does it need to happen soon? What else do they need? Because we talk about the NFL and how they need to get rid of preseason games. Okay, we know there's an 82-game NBA season, but yet then you got a whole other season with the playoffs and finals. So
I'd love to stick around like a post-it note.
Let's
do it.
I want to get your thoughts on that, and then we're going to go to college. You cool?
College basketball?
Yeah.
Am I cool with that?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
All right, yeah, put your house
on. What are we doing
on
here? Take the headphones off. Just
Sam
leave
and Greg,
now.
That is DeShaun Tate, John Bednarowski from Marietta Daily Journal. Join us here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Good morning, Georgia. Again, this is normally where Mr. Crenshaw would say good morning back, and then he would say something to the effect of, it's a game day Sunday morning. But as you can see, I ain't got his chops for that. But he is not here. He has been traveling with Georgia State. He should be back. Actually, I sent a text to him to see if he's up.
I like your impression of him, by the way.
I can't do Sam because that's what makes Sam who he is. He's got that voice. You know, there was only so many people who could do Mr. Rogers. Tom Hanks pulled it off. But Sam's got...
Have you seen that? Has that come out yet?
No, but you know, dude lives here in Georgia who wrote that book. I saw him on Good Day the other day. And it gives you reason to wonder, or it gives you things to think about. Who would you like playing you?
Oh, wow.
In a movie.
I don't even know if I don't know if anybody loves basketball that much.
Well, no, just who's the actor who would play you? You know, you
I'm not sure
like
anybody can act that out. Like,
you never know. Anyway, that's DeShaun Tate. As I said, John Bednarowski from the Marietta Daily Journal has joined us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, filling in for Mr. Crenshaw. We held DeShaun. We held you over because I wanted you to get your thought. I wanted to get your thoughts on the news that came down this week on the possible move. It's still in the works, but everything seems to be flowing nicely. Another one of these Adam Silver moves. I mean, since this guy's taken over as commissioner. I mean, he has made sweeping changes that have done nothing but come off as positive. Now, he's had some hiccups, and of course, some of those have been done by other people. This whole thing earlier with Daryl Morey and those guys over in China and all of that stuff. But why now? Why the need, do you think, the NBA wants to make this change?
You know, I'm still learning about, you know, what exactly they're trying to put in place as well.
But 78 game season.
78 minimum.
Yeah. Well, that's only four games different.
That's only four games. That's only four games. But I don't know. I guess maybe what it can do from a standpoint, if you think about what's popular right now around the league and what you're getting a lot of complaints and this and that about in terms of the load management stuff that's going on and a lot of back-to-backs as well. A lot of back-to-back games being played and players maybe feeling like that they don't have enough time to rest or do whatever else. So I think that could potentially have something to do with it. But I don't know. We'll see. I think that it could be good, you know, for the NBA, for the players to work out for everybody. I don't know how many games a week that will shorten things down to, but I don't know. We were talking about old school basketball back, you know, in the other segment, and I mean, those guys didn't complain. You went out there and you played basketball, and I guess now I kind of feel like there's a lot of
You know what? That's an easy. I thought about this. I could go down that road too, but I feel like that's sort of that, you know, old man, get off my grass sort of thing. It was better back in the
Maybe.
Day. And while you're right, and you can't come up with a really good reason why they should do it now when it wasn't done that way then, but that aside, one of the other things that I heard, I want to make sure I get this right, and I'm sure it will be tweaked, and I do understand why this is in, they wanted to have a playoff entry or a playoff game into the playoffs instead of this conference automatically gets so many and this conference automatically gets so many, which you hate. You got these guys with losing records making it into the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So that part of it, I don't mind. You know, if you're going to give me 16 teams, cool. Let's have these guys, you know, play their way in, and we don't care if it's stacked on the West or the East. I'm good with that. How about you?
I don't love that idea.
Why not?
Personally, I think just because, you know.
But you want the best competition?
Well, absolutely, but I feel like what you have right now is what you're getting. You're getting exactly that.
You got teams, man, that are losing records. They're the bottom feeders of one conference. We're talking about the power in the West these last few years, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we knew the East was top heavy.
Mm-hmm.
And you got some teams that are at the bottom making in there, these eight seeds that are just, you know. There are three or four better teams in the West. That, I mean, so you don't have a, you want to keep it the way it is.
I like to keep it the way it is, because once you start maneuvering things too much, I mean, at the end of the day, I don't think that, you know, it's always going to be somebody that's going to complain about how they don't like it. It's kind of like when we were talking about the NCAA tournament. Even in this case, we're talking about football with the playoffs. You know, you got four teams. Should we move it to eight? Well, right now you have the fifth team complaining, and at that point you're going to have the 19th complaining. It's just same thing with, you know, the whoever's on the bubble for when the teams was, you know, 64, 65 teams. You know, whoever the team that got left out. Now there's complaints about the 69th team that feel like they should have been in or whatnot. You keep it how it is, and you don't have that problem if you do what you're supposed to do from the beginning, where you start off with the same record as everybody else, you take care of business, and you don't have that issue.
That's Deshaun Tate joining Sam and Greg. Sam's out. John Bednarowski joining us this morning. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 92.9thegame.com. If you're just joining us, we're talking pro basketball, but let's leave the NBA and go down to college, which is your wheelhouse. And I want to start off by asking you about what happened this past week with Memphis. The story about this kid Weissman, who was being penalized because of Penny Hardaway helping his family move at $11,000, and there was some issue about where Penny was at the time being when he helped him out. But anyway, there was a suspension that was going to be put in place, and Memphis fought him. They got an injunction when he did have to sit out so he could play in some games, but then they sort of acquiesced and said, you know what, fine, and, you know, give us our penalty. And I think it was 12 games they finally agreed to.
Mm-hmm.
What they did, in your mind, right move, or should they have continued to fight?
I mean, it was the right move from a standpoint of, if they decided to keep fighting that and decided to play him, then they were going to ultimately be sacrificing their opportunity at playing in the NCAA tournament, where Penny Hardaway feels very confident, in which he's said multiple times that he thinks that they can win the whole thing. Now, I don't necessarily feel exactly that way, but they're a very good team, and they have some of the best talent in the country that money can buy. So but no, really, that being said, you know, when you're looking at it, the thing is that they've got games on their schedule that's coming up that are very winnable games, minus having him on the team.
Right.
So, you know, they took care of business against Ole Miss, who was a pretty – a pretty hard fought battle. You know, they've got NC State after that, but after that, you're talking about Bradley and UAB. Now you do have the in-state rivalry with Tennessee coming up real soon, but after that is Jackson State, New Orleans, Tulane. I hate that we're not going to have a chance to see James Wiseman against Georgia because all the NBA scouts will be at that one. But ultimately, I think that they'll be okay in that they made a really good decision on when they chose to cooperate with the NCAA, ultimately, is what I think.
Speaking of Georgia quickly, Georgia Tech played this past week.
Sure.
Give us your thoughts on those two programs.
Man, Anthony Edwards looks really, really good. He didn't look great in that particular game, 5-15 from the field, 33%. But I always felt like if Georgia wants to be considered anything more than just having a player on their roster that's going to be a top five pick, then they're going to need somebody else to step up and help him. That's Tyree Crump from three, which he's not shooting well, but somebody that is shooting well, Rayshon Hammonds. Anything positive about Georgia Tech right now, I just think that that's all Michael DeVoe. I think he's the best player on that team, and they're going to have to find a way to get somebody else to contribute along with him if they want to make any kind of noise. And we know that they're not going to the NCAA tournament.
John, did you hear this knowledge coming out of this man?
It's pretty impressive.
He's been here since dark 30 this morning, and he's spewing out all his basketball knowledge. This is why. Go ahead and take an extra 20 out of petty cash for yourself. Breakfast is on me.
I most certainly will. I don't know what the good Lord has me here for, but I know he has me here for that. At Tate's Take Hoops on the Twitter.
There you go.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.